Okay, folks, right off the bat, I'm going to have to apologize for my voice. It maybe sounds maybe a quarter of an octave lower than normal. And so I don't know what I've got. I don't think I have Omicron. I think probably it's just a typical weather change thing. You know, it's this spring-like weather has been pretty amazing, and I've been enjoying it, but I feel like we don't deserve it and that we're going to pay for it. You ever feel that way? So I do apologize if I don't sound my normal, excited, jubilant self. I just got off the phone with American Express. I don't know about you, but when I got out of college, getting an American Express card meant that you had semi-arrived. So I look on this one. I've got this one American Express card. It says member since 1981. So I graduated from UT in 1978. I think in 79 I applied the first time to get an American Express card. Rejection. And then I tried a year later, another rejection. And then finally I said, okay, I want this credit card. Don't ask me why. I have no idea. But I just wanted it. And in 1981, I got it. And for all those years, American Express has been wonderful to deal with. Now, I guess they're like a lot of these other companies that love to outsource their customer service. Of course, everybody's operating from home still. But some of those homes are in India, apparently, or some other place. Not that there's anything wrong with India. It's just that some of these people are very difficult to understand. Would you agree? I think that if they are going to be answering the phone and dealing with issues with Americans, then they need to be able to speak the language a little bit better. I mean, it's just, you should have heard me trying to understand, or you should have seen me try to understand what this gentleman was saying to me. And I could not decipher, maybe 50% of it. And I just said, sir, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to terminate this call because I can't understand half of what you're saying. So goodbye. And I just hung up. I was done. And that was just like 10 minutes ago. So I'm still recovering. I'm in a recovery mode from that. And talk me down, folks. I need to be talked down. Okay, I'm already better just doing this radio show. So bringatrailer.com. You've never heard me talk about it before, but it is my favorite place to go online. And it is pretty harmless, folks. It's a place where I have made a lot of money selling cars, generated a lot of revenue, made a little bit of money, but generated a lot of sales dollars. And, of course, that only makes you feel good if there's a profit margin involved. And there has. I'm really to the good. I'm approaching 30 cars sold on Bring a Trailer. So that's a pretty good record. I think it's about, and since 2017, just buying and flipping antique cars and stuff, I've sold, I'm about 1.6 million in cars. The most expensive was $90,000 for a 1959 Porsche 356A, completely restored car. Probably a year from now, that's a $120,000 car, the way things are going. So you may say, why didn't you just keep it? Well, it wasn't mine, and I was selling it for somebody else, and he needed the money. And I wasn't going to give him $90,000 for it. I didn't feel that confident. So that's just the way things go. But I've got a Volkswagen Beetle on there right now. If you go to bringatrailer.com and just go to the search button and type in 1957 Volkswagen Beetle, you'll see my wife's 57th birthday present, which was a 1957 Volkswagen Beetle. And it is now for sale. And you may say, well, Lenny, why would you be selling your wife's birthday present? Because she told me so, or told me to, I should say. So she authorized it. She said, Lenny, you know, we're not really driving that car, and you know, you've got plenty of cars for us to drive, which is true. And so let's sell it. Let somebody have it who will enjoy it. So I put it on Bring a Trailer and paid $12,500 for the car. and originally, and I spent probably another, I'm guessing $3,000. Had some paint issues that pop up, and that happens on old cars. You know, paint job gets 2 or 3 years old, and all of a sudden it starts revealing where, you know, you really didn't sand it down good enough. Or typically that happens around seams and edges, and you will see paint start to, it kind of releases from the primer beneath it. And so that happened on this car in a couple of places. So I had to paint, I didn't have to paint the whole car, but I had to paint the left front fender, the rear, what you would call the rear quarter on the left side, and a few other things. And I had to put seat belts in it in order for it to be safe for my wife and I, marginally safer for my wife and I to ride around in it. And I can't remember everything else I did. Just tweaks here and there. Oh, yeah, I had to do some engine work, new generator, a couple other things. But anyway, paid $12,500 for it, probably have $15,500 in it. The current bid, and that's got 6 days ago, is at $12,500. I really believe this car will bring in the mid-20s to $30,000. It could go higher than that because these cars are really popular. Not just everyday Volkswagens, and you may be, I may have knocked you completely off of your dining room chair by saying that, a 1957 Beetle is going to bring $30,000, but that's what's going on in the market right now. Now, folks, if this was like a 60 model, if it's got the curved windshield and it's got the big rear glass, they're not worth near what these small window cars are worth. This one has just the prettiest windshield, the way it curves along with the body lines. And in the back, it has a small oval window. Window's my brother's name. Small oval window in the back. And if it just looks really cool from behind. So anyway, go through there and look at that. And you'll see how pretty. You can see how good of a photographer I am. I work really hard at it because, you know, your words and your pictures have to tell the story on these cars because that's all somebody has when they're buying one of these. And I took some really good pictures. So we're at $12,500 right now. Now, here's the power of the internet, folks. This was launched early yesterday or midday yesterday. It already has 2,842 views. So that means somebody has gone to bring a trailer, scrolled down, saw this Volkswagen, and clicked on it. And that counts as a view. Just scrolling past it does not count. So 2,842 people have looked at it. Now, if your interest in this car is more than just looking at it and you want to follow the auction and see what it does, or you're planning on bidding on the car, then you click this little star up here that says the word watch beside it. So you click the star, and that means that you will be notified if there's any activity on this car by your contact email. So they'll send you an email every time somebody says anything about this car. And so 469 people have done that. The last car I sold on Bring a Trailer, that number was about 200. Now, I've had as many as, I think, 1,300 or 1,400 people that have clicked the watch button and had, I think, 16,000 views. Now, I won't get that on this car. But I do bet that I'll have in excess of 600 watchers. And that's funny. My phone just rang, and I've got some call from Honolulu, Hawaii. I think I'm not going to answer that. It might be some FedEx or American Express person trying to call me and apologize. I wouldn't accept their apology. So I'll probably have 650 watchers and maybe, I don't know, 8 or 9,000 views. But just think if you were trying to sell your car and you had that kind of activity. I mean, you know, before in the old days, 25 years ago, before we had the internet back then. Let me go back like 35 years ago. I think I'm safe there. If you wanted to advertise an old car, you put it in the classifieds, right? If you knew, you know, car industry, antique car magazines and stuff, you probably subscribed to Hemmings Motor News. They still exist. I don't know if you can buy it off the newsstand or not, but you can definitely get to it online. A lot of people sell their vehicles through Hemmings. I have advertised and sold vehicles through Hemmings before. I sold a 1959 Galaxy 500 two-door hardtop that belonged to my wife's grandparents. They bought that car new in 1959 and drove it every day until 1986 when they bought their second car. No, well, that's not their second. It's probably their third car. That's what you call long-term ownership. The 86 Buick, what was that? Buick Tornado was the Oldsmobile version. Riviera. Yeah. And that was their second or third car. And so that was their last car. Those people are hard on car dealers. They don't trade often enough. But anyway, I did sell that vehicle using Hemmings. But Hemmings is only going to be viewed by people who are really into cars. There's a lot of people that view bring a trailer that really aren't interested in buying cars. They like looking at them. And occasionally they will give you a hard time about something. I'll tell you about that here in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. So imagine you're in your front yard. You've got your 1992 Chevy Malibu out there with a for sale sign in it. And a guy drives up Saturday morning, whatever, and he says, you car for sale? And you say, yeah, that's why I have a for sale sign in it. Oh, okay. I just thought I'd add that for color. So you go and show him the car, tell him all about it. All of a sudden, you notice your nosy neighbor from next door waltzing over. And he just kind of standing off to the side listening to what's going on, and you're giving him the stink eye the whole time, and he's not getting the message. And then all of a sudden, he decides to chime in. Hey, Charlie, did you tell him about that wreck you had in that car? Wouldn't you just love that guy? Well, see, that's what kind of happens on Bring a Trailer, because Bring a Trailer, and it's one of the reasons that anybody that likes cars would be addicted to bringatrailer.com. It's because they have a comment section. That allows anybody who wants to weigh in about your car. And I've had some bad experiences there. I've had some people weigh in that they have no business weighing in because they don't know what they're talking about. But many of them do know what they're talking about, but they never buy anything, and the only reason they joined Bring a Trailer was to show people how smart they are. And so that's an example of this guy right here who made a comment, and I looked at his. You can click on their user ID, and you can see if they've ever bought or sold anything on BAT. And most of the people that are really verbose about their comments or with their comments never buy anything. They just like to get on there and chat and give their opinions. Here's this one guy. He says, oh, I wish it had an original engine. It sure is a beauty, though. It looks like my father's car. He was a native German. He loved that Beetle. So much so that when we moved from West Germany to Hong Kong, he brought it with him. Same color and everything. He called it Erdberry. Okay, so that's this guy's comment. And when somebody makes a comment, another thing you can do on Bring a Trailer is you can give them a thumbs up if you want to. This guy has got 4,400 thumbs up with comments like that. I don't get it. okay, so this other guy gets on here and he says, now this is the comment section again. His handle is FBuzz, whatever that stands for. He says, there's so much to like about this offering, and I'm not trying to nitpick. And then as soon as you read that, here it comes. I'm not trying to nitpick this very desirable and well-restored example. However, researching the AH letters before the engine case number shows that it is indeed a dual-port engine from a 73-74 type 1-1600. Folks, I had mentioned that in my listing. He said, however, the photos in the gallery show single port heads. So somebody needs to explain this. And you know, it went on from that. So it just extra work for me. So I went on and I explained it. One time I made a big mistake of getting semi-defensive on Bring a Trailer. Somebody was making comments about a Torino that I was selling, original, all original 428 Cobra Jet Torino that came from a dealership here in East Tennessee and bought by a guy that worked at, I think he worked at Eastman, I think that's what he told me. He bought the car new, and it had become stuck in his garage with boxes all over it, like a lot of, you know, just kind of like a storage shelf, and like a lot of cars become. You may have a couple in your garage. And so he decided to sell it. He listened to the radio show, and I was honored to be able to buy it from him. He wanted us to get it running and do some work on it, which we did, and the bill was pretty high. And he said, you know, why don't you just buy it from me? So I did. I put it on Bring a Trailer not too long after that because I really didn't want to keep the car. And some dude got on there and started cutting the car, saying, well, this is wrong. You know, it's got the wrong carburetor. That emblem is crooked. You know, the door panel fit doesn't look right. Stuff like that. And I said, and I went back and looked at his history, and I said, you know, it's a funny thing that the people who have no intention of bidding and who have never bought anything on Bring a Trailer are the ones who make the most comments. And most of those comments are wrong, period. Well, I got destroyed for making that comment. Everybody came to his defense, you know, because that's one of the beauties of this website. And I have grown to appreciate that. But it's kind of like that nosy neighbor that points out that your car was, you know, your wife backed it into the light pole backing out of the driveway. You know, it wasn't wrecked. You know, it wasn't in a collision. You know, it was just a bumper replacement due to a light pole or a, you know, a mailbox or something. And so these things get exaggerated. And what I swear, I think what these people do is they like to sow seeds of doubt. That's the thing about including your neighbors in anything. I mean, I've had that issue before with neighbors. I love neighbors as long as they stay on their side of the fence. My dad had a saying. It said, good fences make good neighbors. Maybe he was right. You know, I think what he meant about that, though, and he told me many times this is what he meant. He says, when it comes to doing business with people, you need to dot your I's and cross your T's. You need to write stuff down. You know, never do a deal on a handshake because people forget what the deal was. They remember the handshake. The handshaking part, they got that down. But the communication part, the part where what you said is not what he heard, and what he heard is not what you said, and therefore you write it all down. You get a signed contract. Folks, that applies to anything. That's the best advice I could give from a business standpoint. It has saved me so many times. You know, a customer comes in, they're complaining about some kind of an issue, and we come to an agreement. This is what we're going to do. I always put it in writing. And I say, I date it, and I say, sign here. And I sign it, give them a copy. They say, why are you doing that? Don't you trust me? I say, it's not about trust. You know, it's just good business. And, you know, I could easily forget just as well as you could forget. So let's just not forget. Let's have it in writing. That's fair enough. So that's a good fence. And it keeps people honest and also keeps you from forgetting. I just asked my wife, you know, she says go get four things at the grocery store. I'm doing well if I get three and a half of them. So that's why I make lists. That's why I use a planner. I still use a planner, you know, that has a to-do list and a calendar on it and days, and I block out days and stuff. Somebody says, Lenny, I need you to do something. I'm grabbing it. If I don't have it with me, I use my voice recorder on my phone, and I put it in that so I can make sure that I get to my planner and write it down. Because I've just got too many things going on. I just can't not remember. So, folks, if you are not, you know, I know the vast majority of you are probably maybe retired or don't have to worry about that kind of stuff anymore, or maybe your job is very repetitive and you don't have to do stuff. But if you're a businessman, an executive, and you're not using some type of an electric planner, which I can't use because if I can't see them, I forget them. Sometimes I forget that I have them in there at all. But if I have it in my planner, I do a lot better. So there's the lecture on planners for the day. I'll take my last break and be back here in just a second. Well, if you've never listened to this radio show, then I'm sorry. But I don't always sound like this. I am a couple octaves lower than normal. I'm hoping this will clear up because I don't want to infect any of my babies, my grandbabies. I think they infected me, to be quite honest. But I can't complain to their parents because they won't bring them around as often if I complain too much. Yeah, my girls will. But, you know, we do have to do what we can to protect each other and stay on top. I do want to make a quick announcement. I've got a service advisor that works for me, and his name is Mike Moody, and he's from Limestone area. Mike he's worked for me on and off for about, it's got to be 30 years when we first got together. It may not be quite that long. But Mike is just a wonderful person, and he has decided to retire. And his wife has already retired. But Mike Moody has been a fixture at my dealership for a long time. He strayed once, went to work at the truck stop out at Davy Crockett. Those were his relatives, so I don't blame him for that. But he did come back into the fold. And Mike was my service manager at Lawson Chevrolet for a number of years. And then he helped me start Mountain Mazda Mitsubishi. He helped us get started at Gateway with his experience. But some of you may know him. But Mike, I just want to celebrate him and his retirement. I start to say anniversary, but it's not. It's his retirement. And we're doing that today. So we're cutting the cake. I hope my wife makes it. She makes some killer cakes, especially the oatmeal cake. Anyway, I digress. He has been a great fixture. You know, if you don't have those kind of people working for you that have the knowledge of policies and procedures for the warranty and knows cars and then knows how to communicate and knows how to work with customers and make them feel special, then, you know, you're going to run off a lot of people. And Mike Moody has been a wonderful addition to our company and a good friend, and gonna hate to see him go. But you know, that creates opportunities for new people, right, to come in and learn that job. And we promoted a guy. I started to say a kid. He's not really, well, he's a kid to me, but he is. He was working in our cleanup shop washing cars. He came up one day and said, "Lenny, do you think I can maybe move up someday into something? What would you like to do?" He said, "I'd love to work in the service department." Well, guess what? We have an opportunity for you. And so he became a porter, which means just moving, shuttling cars around and handed tickets to techs to work on or going to get parts or taking customers home and stuff like that. Well, he's done such a good job, he's going to be a full-fledged service advisor after only being on his job for 6 months. So I love to see this. I love to promote from within. And folks, if you ever come down to Gateway and get service or whatever, all I ever ask for anybody is, you know, if we do a great job, tell us, tell the world. If we do a terrible job, tell me first, and I will fix it. You know, that's I just really don't understand these people who don't give the business an opportunity to make something right before they get on Facebook and tell their 8,000 friends what a terrible place, you know, such and such business is. Don't do that. Go to the business first. Give them the opportunity to correct the issue. See what they do. You know, that's the real test, I think. Well, thank you for listening to this edition of My Car Guru, and I will talk to you tomorrow.